Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The Underdog Podcast from SB Nation and Underdog Dynasty.
Welcome back to another edition of the Underdog Podcast here on UnderdogDynasty.com, SB Nation's home for G5 football. Another Conference USA show for you with a little twist this time. I'm with you as always, Joe Lonergan, Western Kentucky person. Then we have Eric Henry, the FIU beat writer, doing his thing. And then today we are joined by our Charlotte beat writer who came on this year, doing a fantastic job so far, Mr. Hunter Bailey. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hello, how are you?
good. This is going to be the first in our sort of guest series, I guess, where we kind of try to run through each of the Conference USA teams and really talk about what happened in 2018 and look forward to 2019. And Hunter, we're excited to have you on as the first one here.
Yeah, I'm excited as well. This is the first one of these I've ever done, so I'm a bit nervous, but we're going to get through it.
I promise you, it's going to descend into madness real quick. I wouldn't be nervous.
Yeah, Hunter, if you've ever heard Joe and I do this podcast, there's no reason to be nervous at all, so you'll be all right.
I've been listening up the past couple weeks since we talked about me coming on, so I'm prepared.
Speaking of which, how was Gasparilla, Eric?
Wow. Okay. I can sum up. I don't know if Joe saw my tweet or not. Let me just sum up my Gasparilla. For those of you listening, I don't care what it is, whether it's any type of parade or social event or function you go to, make sure you have your phone fully charged, because if you go out with a group of 10 friends, inevitably all 10 will be dispersed into different places. Some will decide to take an Uber or a Lyft away from the crew, and you will end up downtown on a very frigid 52-degree day down here in Tampa, Florida, alone and without a phone and no way to get home because cell service was horrible because of all the people in the area. So that's enough of me crying about my Gasparilla experience. It was fun until it wasn't, Joe.
In stepping away from true pirate fashion, it did not end in booty, I'm assuming.
It didn't end in booty, but there was a booty out there to be had.
The booty was interspersed throughout the night, I take it?
It was interspersed throughout the night, and I got plenty of beats, and there were plenty of booty distributed for beats. But yeah, the night didn't end in that, Joe. No.
Oh, fantastic. All right. I told you we get
the last thing the same podcast we'll ever do.
Oh, for sure. It's gotten much worse on this very show, I assure you. I told you it's going to get weird, Hunter. What'd you say, bud?
I'm with it, though. It's fun.
Awesome. Before we get derailed too much further, though, let's dive into some big news within the Conference USA sphere that happened this week. North Texas offensive coordinator Graham Harrell is moving on from Denton to be the offensive coordinator and quarterback coach at Southern Cal. Mean Green obviously had a ton of success with him at that position. We're a top 25 offense each of the last 2 years. Pretty big loss for them. Don't think they'll immediately drop off a whole lot, but long term, I'd say that's a pretty big hole in the ship for the Mean Green to plug there.
Yeah, I mean, I'd agree as well. In the long term, I think it's something they'll get fixed. And I kind of like the idea that Dakota Gregory, our UNT guy, threw out there, which is just, hey, maybe just have Mason Fine take over as the de facto offensive coordinator. Yeah. And I know, you know, you said that jokingly. He's not serious. But when you look at the trend of offensive play callers out there, they are becoming younger and younger. So maybe Fine can just take on the role, dual role of star quarterback and offensive coordinator. All jokes aside, I'm sure he'll, you know, when you got a senior leader like that, that's going to help make the transition a little bit smoother, and we'll see how that goes. Hunter, what are your thoughts on that transition for Charlotte?
First of all, we'll see how long Harrell lasts before he ends up as a NFL head coach. I mean, we saw what happened there, but I definitely think they'll transition well. They were a stout team last year, and kind of like you said, I don't think it'll be that much of an effect in the short term, but I think they'll have it taken care of before it creates any long-term problems.
Yeah, it seems like each of the last few weeks we've gone into a debate about who should fill a particular coaching role that's vacant. By the time we actually get the podcast out, they found their guy. Doesn't that seem to be the trend?
Yeah, exactly. You know, who knows, by the time this actually goes to air, who knows if Graham Harrell, like Hunter kind of joked, might have a head coaching job or some to that effect. But yeah, like you said, Joe, I'm North Texas, you know, they'll get it squared away, and in the long term won't be that big of an issue. I think the bigger issue was Seth Littrell staying there, and the fact that they have that on board is really going to help them keep everything going in the right direction.
Here's a thought. Now that Seth Littrell has his guy, his offensive coordinator, is no longer part of his core group, does that create less of an attraction for him to stay in Denton long term?
That's an interesting thought. Not something I had given any consideration to. Excuse me. You and I have kind of, you know, thrown that topic back and forth out there. In my personal opinion, I don't think it creates that much of a difference. And I'm going to piggyback on what I had said a couple podcasts ago, which is if you're getting an offer from a P5 of like a Kansas State or a Vanderbilt or just a P5 that's not a top tier team, mm-hmm. what incentive do you really have to leave UNT where you got a really good thing going and you can kind of make your own legacy and stake, make your own claim there? So I just don't think that it plays that big of a deal of an issue. But you never know. It's a fair point.
I think you make a good point, and we have talked about that little thing earlier of what incentive do you have to go to these lower tier P5 teams where the expectations are still really high for whatever reason. So I think I kind of agree with you in that Littrell has a really good setup where he is in Denton, provided he keeps winning. So I wouldn't think he's going to make that jump you know, of his own volition, you know, next year or the year after, unless it's a really good deal. Obviously something above the tier of like what Kansas State was offering him this year. So I think we're all in kind of agreement on that situation there. One other kind of league note to take note of, Mr. Aziz Al-Shaair getting the combine invite for the NFL. Congrats to him. Know he was kind of dealing with some issues for a lot of this year amid FAU kind of not really living up to expectations, as we all know. Javon Durante also getting the invite for the Owls there. And then we're obviously going to see Devin Singletary a little bit at that combine as well. So it's interesting that FAU had so much NFL talent the last 2 years, and yet they started the season the way that they did this year. But nevertheless, I think FAU fans can be pretty excited about seeing their guys compete at the next level here.
Yeah, Joe, you kind of took the words right out of my mouth there, because I was going to say, when you look back at it, I'd gotten into a couple Twitter debates kind of telling some UCF fans that FAU could potentially be the toughest team that they would face this year. As we saw, that didn't exactly turn out to be the case. Mm-hmm. However, the talent was clearly there. When you have guys, three guys getting invited to the combine, Devin Singletary, we have to believe, will be a draft pick. I think they call it, day one, day two, day three now, where I would project him. Mm-hmm. You know, we haven't seen what his combine will look like, but I think he's going to be at least least a second or third round guy. Aziz is another guy who's a tackling machine. You got to think there's room for him in the NFL. Javon Durante as well. And it'd be interesting to see if Jalen Young maybe gets a shot at a combine invite as well. So clearly the issue this year was not talent. It was really for FIU kind of closing close ball games. Charlotte was able to get a victory on them at the last game of the season. They played their best ball game against FIU. I saw that firsthand, but all in all, they weren't able to put a consistent season together. But still great to see their guys get those combine invites and you know, put more CUSA guys and more Owls in the pros. So it's never a bad thing.
I'd personally be shocked if Devin Singletary went past day two of that draft. I think he's that good. Regardless of wins, losses this season, I still think he's the most NFL-ready back, in the G5 at least.
Joe, I had never seen I did see him play a few weeks earlier at UCF, and obviously that wasn't his best showing. Mm-hmm. But the first time I got to see him up close, you know, go down the field and watch him during warmups and things of that nature, was when he came to FIU. And Joe, I didn't realize how shifty and how fast he is, because you see him and he's got that smaller frame at kind of like 5'8", 205. Mm-hmm. And you can't really tell until you see him in person. Joe, he is, like you said, especially in regards to the G5 ranks, he may be the most pro-ready running back, but I can't disagree with you there. He's really a talent. So, you know, it'd be nice to see him get in the right situation and kind of shine. So that'd be nice.
He's big and fast, just really won the genetic lottery on top of just having the, you know, the work ethic and the talent that he clearly has from getting himself to that level. But yeah, once you just see pictures of this dude close up, he's just a mountain of a man, and he can run as fast as he can run. It's not fair, I say.
His backup, Kareth White, I believe he declared for the draft as well. No invite for him, though?
Not yet, although these are still just kind of starting to roll out. But that would be interesting if he did end up getting an invite. I feel like there's not too many years where you see both running backs from one stable get the invite. I mean, you see two running backs from one school go in the draft, but I feel like it's not super often that you see two running backs from one school get invited to the combine. Am I wrong on that?
Joe, the last time, I mean, I don't know if you can think of anything more recent, Hunter, but the last thing that comes to mind, honestly, maybe I'm you know, Joe and I will be showing our age here. Lendale White and Reggie Bush is the last time I can think of two running backs from the same, you know, backfield getting combine invites. And can you think of anything else?
Not off the top of my head. Yeah, I know that the backfield at FAU was fast last year, though. I got to see that in the last game of the season. They're definitely a problem, so I wouldn't be shocked to see White get one. He didn't get as many touches, but he was definitely in the same ballpark in terms of talent as Singletary was, or is, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. He's got that big frame in the way that Lendale White did, and I think he'll turn out a little bit better in terms of NFL prospects than White did, but I think that's kind of an apt comparison just in terms of running style. I also think he's a little bit faster than Lendale White, but I digress. So FAU fans, get ready to see some of your guys succeed at the next level. Hopefully, they're at least getting a shot at doing that. And with that, we'll move on to talking about the main reason that we asked Hunter to come on today, and that's looking back on Charlotte's 2018 season and looking forward to next season. Of course, the 49ers finished this last campaign 5-7 overall, one win shy of a bowl season, and I feel like that's a little bit higher than what a lot of people, myself included, really expected out of this program. Was that what you were expecting for Charlotte coming into the season, Hunter?
I wasn't sure what to expect when Reynolds emerged as the starter. Mm-hmm. Chris Reynolds, though, initially was a walk-on, got a scholarship, came from fifth on the depth chart. I didn't know what to think. I had actually played high school ball with the quarterback from the year before, Hassan Clue, and so I was, you know, immediately shocked to hear that he wouldn't be the guy that season. But everybody knew that Benny LeMay was going to be a problem, but kind of figuring out, you know, who on the offense in terms of the receiving core and the defense was going to step up. But I would say they definitely exceeded expectations.
Yeah, you mentioned how good Ben LeMay was this past season. What do you think is the ceiling for him? Because it seemed like he was one of the main spark plugs for that offense.
I think his ceiling is as high as the quarterback, whoever that may be, will take him. And the reason I say that is because, I mean, there were multiple games last season where Charlotte wasn't passing for 100 yards a game, some games throwing less than 15 passes in general. So, I mean, it's easy as a defensive coordinator, especially into the second half of a game, to say, you know, we're going to stop this. We're going to load the box, and it's going to make it tough for you to run. So I'd say his ceiling is, you know, letting the run open up the pass, and, you know, they'll get the ball to him as much as they can. Coach Healy said that they'd love to run the ball 30 or more times a game, and that's perfect for him.
Yeah, I'd say so. You mentioned Coach Healy, of course, referring to Will Healy, now the first-year head coach of the Charlotte 49ers, coming in there from Austin Peay, I believe. But what do you think is the biggest difference between Will Healy and Brad Lambert in terms of coaching style?
I've spoke to a few different players and some people around the program, and the word that just keeps reoccurring is energy. I kind of said in a little errant sentence earlier, he's hired at 34 years old, definitely a spark plug in terms of energy. You can tell at his press conferences, any interviews that he does, that, you know, he's excited to be there, and he wants to ensue like a winning culture in Charlotte. So mm-hmm. I'm definitely excited to see the difference, whether that be like on the sideline, during the game, if his energy is high. I haven't seen that much from Austin Peay, but just from speaking to him the couple times that I have, he seems like a spark plug.
What do you think has been like the fan reaction to the Healy hire and some of the things that he's done since he came into that office?
The fans, everybody that I've seen, are just really excited that he's recruiting Charlotte. I feel like that was one of the downfalls, and I feel like there's definitely a lot of talent in and around this area that we weren't exactly picking up on, but that is one of the biggest things so far that he's brought, because the hashtag that they have going on Twitter is Seize the City, and whether that means getting the best talent in the city and getting the name out there, but that seems to be priority number one for them.
Joe, you mind if I jump in quick seconds? I want to ask Hunter a quick question about that. I love to get into it on Twitter with some of the Charlotte fan base, some of the Agent 49 and some of the other guys who are huge Charlotte fans on Twitter and have that social media presence. And I think you hit the nail on the head. A lot of the things that they talked about, because I was somewhat of a Brad Lambert defender in the sense that I just thought that he greatly exceeded expectations and maybe deserved another season. However, a lot of the fan base said that he was not recruiting Charlotte effectively. And I didn't get a chance to ask you this when I met you at the Charlotte game, the FIU Charlotte game. I know you mentioned you played with Clue. So are you from the Charlotte area? And then the second question is, what kind of talent is there in Charlotte? Because I guess I don't think of Charlotte as necessarily a high school football hotbed, so to speak. But that was one thing that fans were very emphatic about, is that they must recruit Charlotte better.
To answer your first question, I'm from Concord, which is like 10-15 minutes from Charlotte. But I would say there's definitely a lot of talent in the area. I mean, you have Mallard Creek, which produces a lot of talent. The Matthews area in general, Huff. There's definitely a lot around here. Even where I'm from, Cabarrus County is putting, you know, their mark in D1 football this season. But, like I say, there's definitely, like, some of the guys that they brought in this year just from the area, like Jalen Sharp, Trey Bly, two of their highest-rated recruits from the local area. So, I mean, it's there. They just need to, he's doing it now, but emphasize getting them to stay home in the city.
Sorry about that, Joe. I'll let you jump back in.
Apology accepted. No, I'm just kidding. as we finish reviewing 2018 for Charlotte, let's look ahead to 20, 19. Who do you think is going to start at quarterback for Charlotte in 2019? Obviously, have the USF transfer that just came in. Their previous starter had a pretty good year as well. So I think, you know, that job seems like it at least should be up for discussion in terms of who's going to get there. So who do you think is going to be under center come August here?
I think that it'll come down to Brett Keen, the transfer, and Chris Reynolds. I know Lambert was really high on Chris Reynolds, even when he went down week six. Post game, he was pretty much said that, you know, regardless, that he was the guy. So that told me, I know there's been a coaching change, but that told me that the talent difference was a noticeable one. But Reynolds, the rap on him is that he's undersized. He's 5'11". And the transfer is 6'1", and a three-star. Reynolds was just a preferred walk-on. So, I mean, in terms of the recruiting standpoint, Keen looks to be the more highly touted prospect. But I would not be shocked at all to see Chris Reynolds be the guy again this season. I think, you know, form chemistry with the team, past couple seasons that he's been there, the majority of the offense is returning. So he showed flashes in his, you know, 5.5-ish games. So that would be my pick for 2019.
Just to give a little more background on Brett Keen, being here in Tampa, I've seen Brett Keen's career pretty closely. Obviously, came from here at USF, and he was a kid out of Ohio, a really highly touted prospect from a really well-to-do high school in Ohio. He had a really weird kind of auspicious career here at USF. One of the major things that happened to him this year was that he had a situation where he was ruled academically ineligible for 4 games. Then it was reduced to 2 games. Then it was maybe suspended for the year. It was actually reported by the Daily Stampede, our SB Nation website. They had a kind of a back and forth with the local newspaper, the Tampa Bay Times, as far as what would be the situation. But the thing with Keen overall, as far as his play on the field, he did see some meaningful snaps in his time in Tampa, but he just couldn't beat out Chris Oladokun, who actually ended up transferring as well for the backup spot. Brett Keen was actually the number 3 quarterback behind Oladokun and Blake Barnett. And if my memory serves me correct, I want to say Keen was the backup for Quentin Flowers during his time. I know he was there. I just cannot remember if he was the number 2 or if it was Oladokun. I think they might have flip-flopped going from last year to this year. But Keen's a really talented guy, and kind of piggyback on what Hunter said, It's going to be interesting because Reynolds really was a Brad Lambert guy, and clearly Keen was someone who was brought in by Will Healy. I like Reynolds. I think he's a gamer. You know, even though he's undersized, he just really plays above his stature. But Brett Keen physically is very talented, can move in the pocket, has a really good arm. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Just give a little more background on Brett Keen and his time here in Tampa.
Yeah, that will be kind of interesting. Eric, before the show started, you brought up a good question that I think is worth kind of getting into. Losing Glenn Spencer for the 49ers, that could be a pretty big loss for them. And Hunter, I'd love to get your thoughts on that as someone who spends a lot of time and paying attention to this program.
Yeah, through some of the player interviews, especially some of the defensive guys, there was definitely some frustration from them when they found out he wouldn't be retained. I mean, as you can expect, any coaching change can be frustrating for players, you know, what you're used to, what you're accustomed to switch. But the defense is returning about 9, I would say 9 of the 11 starters. They picked up 2 pretty big time transfers. One from Penn State, a linebacker, Breland, I'm not sure how you pronounce the last name, Fagion, and then Marquell Osborne from Tennessee, both pretty highly touted guys, and they're actually getting a cornerback, a press corner, and his name is Quentin Jordan. Mm-hmm. He was actually suspended last year, but what I was told by some of the defensive guys was that he's one of the best press corners that they've seen, so replace Ed Roll in the secondary, so I think they'll do just fine with that. And then the other replacement would be Juwan Foggy, who had an incredible year last year. But I think they're switching schemes to a 4-2-5, is what Healy said. I think that's definitely going to give – they have some really good edge rushers returning, and switching to that is going to give them ample opportunity to get to the quarterback. But Spencer went down to FAU with Lane Kiffin, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Correct.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think replacing him is going to be tough. I think they have the pieces to make that happen, but I think they're definitely going to have to overcome some adversity with that.
Given all that we've talked about and the recruiting changes and the coaching changes and all that, how many games do you predict Charlotte's going to win next season if you had to put a number on it?
If there was a spread, I would favor them at 7.5. So I'm stuck between 7 and 8 looking at the schedule. Mm-hmm. Their non-conference is pretty tough. They got two really tough road games at App and at Clemson. They're going to have FAU at home. And then the biggest game that I'm worried about for them is, in terms of conference play, is heading to FIU in week 6 or week 7. I believe, but I would definitely say hopefully 7 to 8 games.
Okay. You guys will get to meet up again at that FIU Charlotte game.
Yeah, man. I was going to tell Hunter, yeah, man, get down here, man. You can crash at my place, save on hotel fees, man. You know, we'll make it happen.
He can show you his beats.
Sounds good, my man.
Nice, Joe. Nice.
Thank you. But Eric, do you agree or disagree on that prediction?
I am actually in agreement there with Hunter. I think this team, he's going to push at 7.5, and I'm all in. I'm saying 8. I really like the pieces that they have. A guy who is returning on defense, who Hunter didn't mention, is Ben DeLuca. Mm-hmm. A guy local. Excuse me. What was that, Hunter?
He's a tackling machine.
Yeah, he's a tackling machine. He's a Florida kid out of Orlando, Bishop Moore. I think he's going to be a stud. And he did mention that the young talent coming in, as far as Trey Bly. I had to say that a little slowly because if you've heard the past podcast, I kept calling him his father, Dre Bly. But I think he's a really talented guy who's going to come in and maybe fill the shoes of Ed Roll, who left due to graduation. But also two guys who are on offense who I think they just need to get this quarterback situation straightened out. I am huge fans of Victor Tucker and Rico Arnold as a duo as receivers. I think both players are very talented, and when you got that type of receiving talent along with Benny LeMay, that's where Hunter kind of mentioned it earlier. All you need is to get the quarterback situation to open up this entire offense. And if Will Healy can inject some of this energy that Hunter keeps talking about into this program, I'm all in. So I think they're going to be an 8-win team. And I'm looking forward to that FIU Charlotte game because for better or worse, Charlotte pushed them last year. FIU, the box score may look a little closer than the game actually was, but Charlotte really pushed them, especially given the fact that they were a team that was struggling and FIU had come in pretty hot at that point in time. So definitely looking forward to that game, but I absolutely believe that Charlotte will be a bowl team and could be looking at 7 or 8 wins.
I'm going to say they make a bowl game. I don't know that they get to 7 or 8 wins. I think they're definitely on an upward trajectory. I don't know that it's going to get them to that 8-win mark immediately, regardless of, you know, the energy that Will Healy's bringing in and these top recruits that were – or these good recruits that we're talking about. But I think definitely this is a program that's walking the road of steady improvement. I don't know that we'll necessarily see something as – you know, as drastic as like what we saw at FAU in Lane Kiffin's first year. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, or go ahead, Hunter, I'm sorry.
I was going to actually piggyback off what you said about Tucker and Arnold real fast before we switch topics.
Sure.
Yeah, go for it.
Victor Tucker, the majority of his stats, I was looking at it earlier, came in September. So, ended up being the number one guy this year. His numbers could really shoot through the roof, and him and Arnold will both be sophomores. So, there's another guy that we haven't quite talked about much. His name is Cameron Dollar. He's got a lot of potential as well to step in and be that third guy. But sorry, go ahead back to the other.
No worries.
No, you're fine. I'll just say really quick before Joe jump back in. You mentioned a lot of Victor Tucker's numbers coming in September, and I think a lot of that had to do with the inconsistency of the quarterback play. So if they can get that straightened away, I mean, the FIU game, I don't know which Hassan clue that was. I really thought it was Cam Newton making a guest appearance at Jerry Richardson Stadium that day, but that wasn't the. Yeah, that wasn't the quarterback who we saw most of the year, and Chris Reynolds didn't go down. So if they can get the quarterback situation strained out, I think those guys will be fine.
Yeah, it seems to be a case. Did you say they had a kid named Cameron Dollar coming in?
Yeah, he was there last year.
Okay.
But he just didn't get a whole lot of time, but he's definitely up and coming. I actually met with Chris Reynolds the other day, and he was telling me that he's a really good route runner and definitely could have a breakout year this year, so... Definitely excited to watch him play.
Nice. Is he from the Atlanta area by chance?
I am not sure on that
okay.
one.
Okay. No, I ask because I feel like I remember there's some good basketball players named with the last name Dollar that came out of Atlanta, and I just didn't know if that was like the same family.
It's actually Denver, North Carolina. So
probably not the same family then. Anyway. Eric, did you mention that there was one other conference news-related thing that you wanted to get into, or?
And no, that was it. I think the only thing I mentioned was just Keen coming in and want to touch on his background really quick. So other than that, yeah, you know, like I piggyback off of what Joe said there. Excuse me, Joe. What Hunter said there. I'm so used to talking to you. I really think that Charlotte's really primed for a good season. And I know, you know, Joe, for better or worse, you haven't been as all in as I've been on this Charlotte program. But I really think that they're just, you know, if you get a chance to see Jerry Richardson Stadium, you know, the facilities are great there. Charlotte's a great town. So I think they're just right there. And maybe Will Healy is a guy who can, like Hunter said, inject that energy into the program and get things going in the right direction. And I'd like to see it get started this year. And I do think they have that potential to have that 7-8 win season.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, stranger things have happened stranger things have happened for sure with that program. So hopefully they get it together and hopefully they keep on this road of improvement that we mentioned they were on. I think that's it all we had for the Charlotte recap / preview here. Some other things that are happening this week. There's a little game down in Atlanta called the Super Bowl. What do you guys' plans for that?
Go ahead, Hunter. You got it, man.
I'll definitely be watching. Not really biased on any of the teams, but I definitely do think the Saints got robbed. That game was horribly officiated.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah. Yeah, that was crazy.
you forgot about that, Joe. Yeah, I hear a little bit of dry sarcasm in your voice there.
That's just my voice. Everybody thinks I'm sarcastic. I'm just like...
My plans for the game, I'll be somewhere in the greater Tampa Bay area watching the game, probably somewhere that has an open bar and maybe a view of the bay, and hopefully enjoying some food and hopefully watching a Rams victory, because I would like to see anything. Not that I'm biased in any way, but I could live without another Tom Brady Super Bowl.
Sure.
I got to watch my team. I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan. I got to watch them beat the Patriots last year, so I would be okay to watch another team beat them, if that tells you how I feel.
I think the Rams have more Conference USA guys, so let's go with that. I know they have Tyler Higbee from Western, and then Darius Williams from UAB. Yeah, and then I think the...
And Gerald Everett's from UAB as well, correct?
Is he on the roster still?
Yeah, he's still LA. LA Rams, yeah. He's still there, so.
Huh. And is he's from UAB?
If my memory serves me correct, I'm going to do this on the fly here. As Hunter, you can see we do a ton of show prep here. We just throw things out and then Google them as we try to throw each other off here.
Yes.
I think he's from South Alabama.
Okay, Gerald Everett is from South Alabama. My apologies. You are 100% correct.
it's not us you got to worry about coming after you. It's Daily Dragon if you make a UAB mistake.
And I think And I think the Daily Dragon came at me earlier this year when I made the case that there was a game, and I wish I can't remember which game it was, but I said that UAB played a team that didn't play their best game. They said, no, could it be possible that we just played up to our potential? And I said, yeah, sure, but the team you guys played didn't play their best game. So, yeah, Daily Dragon and I are our friends.
Yeah, Daily Dragon, we love you. Come on the podcast.
And okay, hang on. He was at UAB. See, I knew I didn't just make that
thing. Oh, okay.
He was at UAB, and when the program shut down, he went to South Alabama. So, okay, I just want to make sure I didn't make it about dinner, which I didn't. So, boom, Joe, in your face, long dinner.
Fine. Why is everything in my face all the time? I think that's it. So we have 2-2 for the Rams and the Patriots then. I think that's kind of interesting. But yeah, so if you're a Conference USA fan, you have equal reason to root for both teams, I guess. You have more on the Rams then, because that one was on the Rams.
That'd cool. be correct.
All right. This is the super professional part of the podcast. With that then, we'll go ahead and wrap up before we embarrass ourselves further. But thank you all so much for listening once again. If you haven't already, subscribe to the show on iTunes. Keep checking back on the site every day throughout the offseason for more Conference USA and G5 football content. Follow at Underdog Dynasty on Twitter as well. You can follow Eric on Twitter at EricCHenry_. I'm at JoeHio_. Hunter, you want to plug your social media?
At HunterBailey45.
Sweet. With that, we will go ahead and wrap up. Everybody have a happy week. Watch the Super Bowl. And yeah, we'll talk to you next week with another guest. Happy football watching.